Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Sean Atwood channel. I am Lauren, the insider, and I am joined by Jonathan Hay, who you will know as a celebrity Hollywood publicist and also a music giant in his own right. But tonight, he is here for part two of our interview on witchcraft, satanic rituals, and the dark side of Hollywood. So welcome, Jonathan. I hope you've got your eyes open under the sunglasses.
I do.
So last time we spoke about the party you went to with, well, it was a Tidal party, was it? It was a Jay-Z.
Rock Nation Tidal party, yeah.
Rock Nation party. And you, could you just give the audience a recap in case some of the people weren't on the last stream?
So I was invited, it was around Christmas time. So it was like the Christmas Rock Nation Tidal party in New York. And when I get there, it was like the Eyes Wide Shut, like we talked about last time. And everybody, and it was just wild, like people having sex everywhere. Sorry, people, I don't know the word I can use. People doing the nasty everywhere. Right. And I was,
really?
Yeah, I was mad insecure because I'm not like the type to like even like us swim in the pool with my t-shirt on. Like, but everybody was just like going at it. And I'm walking around with a friend of mine, just like, is this really happening? You know,
okay.
I've never seen anything like that. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Before we get into the party. So, you're working at Tidal for Rock Nation and you think you're going to a Christmas party where you'll probably get a mince pie and a glass of champagne.
I knew it was going to be a little racy. I could tell from the communication, right? When I said I was bringing a friend, they're like, it was a girl. I was like, no, it was a friend of mine. So I think, you know, male friend. So I think they probably thought maybe that, you know, I swing that way.
Right.
So they're like, okay, just bring one person. No surprises. Right? So.
And did you have to sign an NDA?
Of course. Always.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And they take your phone, how to sign an NDA on the iPad. Yeah, it was pretty intense. Music was real loud as soon as I get in thumping, and then you go up a elevator and it was pandemonium.
So how many people were there?
I don't know, anywhere from 40 to 80 people.
Not that big then.
Big enough when everybody's naked and going at it, right?
So was it? It's not often I'm speechless, Jonathan, but I just haven't been to a party like this. I mean, I don't know, guys, in the chat.
I haven't either.
So where was it? Someone's asking in the chat. And
Manhattan, right off Times Square.
Okay. And when are you saying everyone was without clothes?
Everyone was without what?
Clothes. So they were all naked.
Yeah. Except me. There was a couple others that were just watching type thing, but yeah, I didn't know what to do. So I just kind of walked around like at like a state fair expedition, right? Exposition, whatever they're called. So
was Jay-Z there?
I'm not sure, maybe.
Were there any names of note? Because obviously this is...
There was names of note.
Are you going to tell us?
I don't know. With this lawsuit I have, everything is like thrown against me, you know?
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be hard for us to work out who would be at a Tidal Christmas party, would it? I am sure that probably...
Rock Nation, correct.
Rock Nation, some artists would be there. And were people, we'll come on to the satanic side in a minute, but were people using narcotics? Right. And you told me previously that there was lots of kind of Baphomet and really dark imagery, and it was almost like a set.
Correct. And there was like a production value to it, right? So they had the music going, they had like the lights like going around, circling around. Like it just wasn't like some dingy, like it had like a production value to it.
I mean, they want to be seen as well. This is exactly why they're doing it, isn't it? It's a
Correct.
ritual.
Yeah, definitely.
Are these are the kind of things that someone like Beyoncé would go to? Would they not be worried they'd be seen? Or is it the fact that because no one's got a phone and they're signed NDAs, it's impossible for it to get out apart from whistleblowers?
Correct. And I was working with Roc Nation and Tidal at the time, so
So you were trusted.
I was one of them, yeah. But I don't know why I'd be trusted in such a situation like that, right? Because I'm not comfortable. Like, why would they have me there doing
Yeah.
that? I'm like a bigger guy. There's no way I would be comfortable doing anything like that. So I felt.
No, I don't put yourself down like that. I think, they probably, I don't know, maybe they wanted a new recruit.
Right. So we, like I said, we walked around, and there's all kinds of people in this wide open area, just doing freaky stuff.
So it is a freak
Threesomes,
off.
foursomes. Yeah, I'd have been freak off before we knew what the term freak off was.
Yeah, because this isn't a one-off, is it? These kind of rituals.
No, right. So I don't know what to do. You're trying not to look. You're trying to look at the wall. You're trying to just like, okay, let me get out of this as quick as possible. So it was so strange. It was so awkward. And so we got out of there super fast.
How fast?
15 minutes tops without being like so awkward and weird, So like looking outside, seeing the buildings of Times Square, not trying to pay attention to people. Like I said, there was some real production value to this thing. The music was jamming. There was like a DJ, lights, people just going at it. The music was really, really loud.
So, do you think then this is a they do worship Baal or Moloch? Is this, satanic slash voodoo witchcraft? Because we.
It felt very satanic. Voodoo ritualistic for sure, no question.
And had you seen signs of that when you worked for Jay-Z before this party?
Of course, but not anything like this. This is the only time I've seen anything even remote. I was never invited again, right? Because I guess I didn't participate. So it was strange, so strange. It was just like that Eyes Wide Shut type thing. It's very, 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 very awkward. A lot of prominent people in Hollywood, a lot of prominent business people, lawyers. It was disgusting. I mean, let's keep it a stack. It was disgusting.
Would you say then that within that room, those 40 to 80 people, you are looking at, the very elites that could stop any story? That it's almost a sense of arrogance, isn't it?
It is, of course, yeah. And they could have, because at that time, it was a different world. You didn't have all the whistleblowers coming out, exposing these things. You didn't have Nicki Minaj and everything that's going on, and the internet, right? That's, of course, the internet was there, but all these internet detectives that's going on, It was very controlled. Very organized, right? Very luxurious type thing. So,
Was Diddy there?
no, he wasn't there. Oh, just Roc Nation. Roc Nation title stuff.
I can't imagine going into work the next day after that.
Oh, I didn't. It was a Christmas break, so I think everybody could,
Yeah.
back off and.
With the chat are asking, at what point did you know it was a ritual? What had you seen, and what made you think this wasn't just a, I mean, obviously the fact that everyone has got no clothes on, I appreciate that was probably quite a big sign. But what made you think this is, there's something sinister with this? This isn't just a party whereby they've thrown some money to create, decorations.
Right, because I mean, when you're walking into something like that, it's clearly dark, it's clearly not of this world type thing. And the music that's playing is like very, let me think. It's very like a lot of chanting, almost like Enigma back in the day, but. But different. Like they were mixing like choir sounding. The DJ was with the sub bass. Everything is like vibrating, literally. It was surreal.
Yeah. What's almost to get you all in a trance?
Exactly. If that's what it felt like. It was like a trance, like trance music, trance people. Trying to be as clean as possible and just people going at it.
Would we, because obviously you've got a lawsuit on, I understand you can't, and it's probably not safe for you to name names, but would I be accurate to say that these names would have hit the number one spot around the world in the charts?
Yeah. Definitely, without question. I've never seen anything like that. And then another time that I've been to something was during the pandemic, and I was with Johnny Depp's nephew, Billy Russell. And he wanted to like show us like a good time because we had members of the Biggie estate with us and a bunch of men. And I think there was like eight of us. And we go to, this is in Hollywood. So that was in New York, that thing. We go to Hollywood, right? And we go behind, like in the back of a grocery store. And I'm thinking like Billy, because I've worked with Billy for like 12 years. And I'm like, where are you taking, all these people? This is awkward. We're in the back of a grocery store walking through the kitchen. It was like, oh man, what are you doing, bro? And then we go into this cooler, and then the cooler, like a big, like walk-in type cooler,
Like those rooms.
where the grocery, like where the grocery store keeps their cold products. And then it opens the door, and this is in the middle of Hollywood. This is in the middle of the day. And we go in and we go down an elevator, right? And then all of a sudden we're in this like super nice, like almost like a casino upscale strip club. We sit down at this table. We're the only ones. There's maybe 10, 12 rooms, and it's just us. And we sit around this big table, and this woman comes in and she starts bringing it. She brings in all these different girls, and they're like, pick one, pick one. So the guys are like, I'll take her, I'll take her, I'll take her, I'll take her. And then they sat around the table with us, and the girl that sat next to me, it was so once again so awkward. The girls who sat down next to me, I was trying to talk to her like, who are you, what are you doing, do you have an Instagram, like looking right. I was like, here's my Instagram, what's your name? She was like, I can't tell you, I can't tell you. But she looked at my Instagram, and this whole time everybody's around the table, they're sniffing, partying, And I think a couple are getting it on. But this girl was, I felt so bad for her. And I was trying to talk to her, like, what do? What's your name? Do you live around here? And she was trying to be as nice as possible. She didn't speak like great English, right? When they get her, anyways, they pull him out like an hour. The woman comes in, the girls get up and leave. And we sat there for maybe 15 more minutes. And then they escorted us out back up through the grocery store. And during the pandemic, I was like, I thought about that. Like, what was that? Where was that? And I would talk to Billy, like, what was that place? He was like, do you want to go back? We can go back. We have to schedule it. I was like, no, what was it? But then I started to think, like, that was definitely a human
Transportation.
sex trafficking thing
We
where
can't
they,
say that word, but human transportation.
using transportation. Yeah, sorry. That's definitely what that was. They'd bring in all these girls and then they would move them out, like in and out, like product. I was like, holy crap. That's the only other time I've seen anything with that kind of, like New York and LA, with that kind of experience, you know?
So back up. So you're on your way to this grocery store and
Well, we're having a meeting, and Billy, like I said, his mother is Johnny Depp's sister. He's part of his management team, right? He works with the Hollywood Vampires and all his groups, and he wanted to show like everybody like a good time. Once again, I can't say like all the people in the lawsuit and stuff like that because of the lawsuit. He wanted to show them a good time because of working on this project.
right.
And that's where he took us. And it was so strange. At the time, I'm just in shock. But then when I processed it and thought about it, the transportation thing, I was like, wow, that's exactly what it was. And
So
the girl was so, like, I was just trying to talk to her, like, what do? Like, what is this? Like, where are we? You know? And she was, I could tell she maybe wanted to talk to me more. I was trying to get her Instagram. I was trying to get her number. I was like, come back where we have this Airbnb. Come back, you know, I want to talk to you. But none of that obviously happened.
And there's so many distorted kind of films out there on human transportation. And
Right.
I often feel that we don't understand in the public how dangerous it is for these women to speak out as well. You know, it, the repercussions if she'd have said something to you. And that's what makes it so chilling. So when you're going through what you think is a walk-in refrigerator, it
Like
was
a
not.
big walk-in cooler refrigerator. It
So
wasn't.
it was not.
No, it was. It had that like vibe of like the lettuce and like the meat, whatever's in it. And so I'm thinking, where is Billy taking us? I was embarrassed because I was like introducing, this is my guy, Billy Russell. You know, this is my guy. And I'm like, oh my gosh, bro. Like he's an interesting individual. Like, you're really bringing us in a cooler. This is so embarrassing. I'm like, what are you doing? Are you trying to mess up my project or whatever? Like, what is this? And then all of a sudden we're going downstairs in this like creepy elevator, not like the elevators you see, like one of those old school chain elevators. And then you go in and it's like this really nice, like I said, looks like an upscale like casino, strip club. It's
How big
nuts.
was it? So when you go down, how far from the refrigerator down to the club was it, would you say?
Maybe wasn't long of a ride, maybe one floor, two floors at the tops, downstairs. It was strange. And I've told so many people about this, never on a stream, I don't think. But I've told so many people about that, and all those guys that were there, like some of them still have contact with, they're like, yeah, that was crazy, man.
And The people that you were with, are they people we would recognize, or are they more industry people?
Industry people.
Okay, so the kind of big cats within the record labels and that kind of thing.
Correct.
Okay. And so when you get down there, how big was this space? This kind of like, I guess it's underground tunnels.
Yeah, because it had to be like an underground tunnel. I've never thought about that because where did they come from? And she brought them in like a group, right? That she brought them in like a group, and then they left, and I don't know where they went. And just like thinking about that moment, since then, that was like midday. It was like sunlight outside in Los Angeles. So is that going on 24/7, 365? You know,
Yeah.
where they just bring in different women, like a meat market, like you pick one, you pick one, you pick one. You know, it was so surreal. And people are always like, do you know exactly where it was? I'm not familiar with like the location of Hollywood. Like so much because yes, I've worked in LA, but you know, you just go over to the record labels offices and stuff. I never lived in California. I lived in Santa Monica briefly when I was working on a project, so I was more in the Santa Monica area. But this was in Hollywood. This was like around the block, around the corner, somewhere close to Johnny Depp's house. He has a cul-de-sac, and he has every house on a cul-de-sac. And so people are like, you should call the police. And if law enforcement is watching this, just talk to Billy Russell because he's the one who took us there.
Do you still talk to Billy Rascal?
No, Russell.
Him, her?
Him.
Him. I mean, to be honest, he doesn't really sound like someone you want to be hanging around with, Jonathan.
No. And I don't like that. We haven't. I've spoken to him and about details about our experience and him and the Depp family and stuff. But I don't, you know, once again, I don't want to go on that. But the Depp family is connected to the Notorious Big Estate. They did that movie together, City of Lies, with Johnny Depp, about the assassination of the Notorious Big. And Valletta Wallace was in the film. So it's all connected. Everything is connected, right? So I don't know exactly where we were. I'm just riding, you know, with Billy.
Well, because you didn't know what was, you just thought you were going to a
No,
meeting.
none of us did. None of us was, because everybody's looking around like, okay, what are we doing? It was
How?
awkward. It's like I'm talking about a major grocery store, like a Ralph's type thing.
Really? See, I imagined it was a small one.
No, this was like you're walking in the back. It's like what are we, I couldn't figure out what we're doing. It's a major busy grocery store with all these employees, you know, and then like because you could look out and see like when you're walking in the back, you could kind of like see some of the aisles. It's a major grocery store right in Hollywood, right all out in the open. It's freaky. And when I think about it, I've thought about it so much, and I've talked about it so much to various friends since then. And they're like, you know, can you should call the police. I wouldn't know how. I wouldn't know where we were, but it was 100% there. Billy Russell would know where it was. Johnny Depp would know where it was.
Yeah.
You know, but even like the people from the estate, they didn't know where we were going.
I mean,
We
what
all
what's
meet in this back parking lot of the grocery store.
and that, so then when you've been in the kind of chain old elevator, you go down, and how many rooms are there? So there's the strip club.
Like it feels like a strip club, but it wasn't. It's this private place where people come, but it had that vibe, like that feel like a casino type strip club. I think like 8 to 10 rooms, because there's a hall where
Oh, wow.
there was our room, right, with this big table and like a almost like a jukebox setting, but we were the only ones there. I noticed that when we went in and when we left. So when we're sitting down, when we first sit down, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. We're at some kind of like bar. No one was there except for a few people that greeted us, maybe like security. And then all of a sudden this woman comes in with their lineup of girls. It's sad, it's disgusting.
Did the girls, can you remember how old they looked and what were they wearing?
They were dressed like strippers before they do their thing, provocative. I would say they were mid to late 20s, but they seemed foreigner. They weren't American women for sure. They weren't blonde hair. They were. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. You know.
I'm getting like these vibes of I can just imagine these women almost like robotic like and in a trance because they're just being taken from pillar to post and are muzzled the whole time because they're being transported.
Correct. And this woman that, like, the I don't know if that's a madam or who was ever in charge, like, she brought him in and then she came after the time and took them all out. And that was it. But like I said, I'm sitting, the girl that I was sitting next to, I was trying to talk to her. I was like, showed her my Instagram and I was like, contact me. You know, I'm just like whispering to her, like, contact me later. Come over. What do you know? I didn't know what it was. I just knew it was something weird. I've never experienced anything like that. And then, you know, when you think about the transportation stuff and everything we heard, I'm like, wow, that's exactly what that was.
Because as well, I've long been fascinated with the tunnels under, Hollywood, and it's not very often you hear whistleblowers who can vouch for it because it is such a close-knit of elites that are behaving in this appalling way.
Right. It had to be. And just like when you're talking about the tunnels, I never thought, so when we leave, we go back out up the elevator where we came from. The woman took them the opposite way down the hall. So we're going one way, they're going the other. So I have no idea if there was a tunnel that led there, if they wait till we leave, you know, and they go back up through that. But like I'm saying, this is a major restaurant chain. And so many people watch your channel and stuff. If law enforcement is watching, go talk to Billy Russell. Go talk to Johnny Depp. Go talk to Christy Domofsky. That's Johnny Depp's manager. That's Billy's aunt. Go talk to them. They know exactly where it is.
So obviously we'll be legally careful, but
Yeah.
it would seem strange to me if the likes of Johnny Depp didn't know about this, if his nephew was so brazenly doing it.
Well, I mean, how's this? And right, that, you know, that's fair. I don't know. I don't know for certain if Depp heard about that, but we're in Hollywood in a very exclusive, obviously private place. Would be hard for him not to, I would think. But, you know, maybe Billy met somebody. I don't know. It was a very weird situation, but Billy knew for sure.
Someone's put in the chat, doesn't Ron Burkle own a grocery store?
I'm not sure.
I'll tell you, if anyone can find it, I think it's the Atwood audience. By the end of the show, we'll know if Ron Burkle does or doesn't own a grocery store. And if you find out, drop it in the chat. But when you were down there, and obviously we'll use YouTube-friendly language, but what were people doing with the girls? Was everyone else just sat talking around like you were?
It seemed, I think maybe one of the guys and one of my friends, we've spoke about it. I was like, was he was anything happening like under the table? And we didn't know, but it just seemed like they were just all around us, talking to us. There was so much liquor, and they're pouring drinks. It didn't really seem like anybody was doing the nasty, but maybe I don't, I don't know. I mean, look, nobody's like going full blown because we're all around this table, but it was just shocking. And I'm trying to talk to this girl because I could feel the energy that something was off. And
And were there
the fact that she wouldn't like give me your contact information, and I was like, what's your Instagram? Like, because we had like a little vibe. I could tell that she was receptive to me, like not being some kind of dirt bag or creep,
And how long ago was this?
This was in the pandemic. This is at the beginning of 2021. The last time I've been in LA, I was in LA from January to March of 2021.
I mean, it does all just support that argument that there is literally a really dark energy cabal that run Hollywood. And that human transportation is happening beneath our very feet. Because there's no way this grocery store couldn't have known, if we're kind of
Well, they do
analytically going
know.
through it. Yeah.
They do know 100%. Because we're walking in the back into a cooler. We're walking. It's like, oh, excuse me, bumping in. Oh, people cutting the fish or whatever they're doing in the back. Sorry about that. Excuse us. I mean, it was packed in the back. That's what I'm saying, is it was definitely a major grocery store. It's not anything like some low budget type thing.
We've got someone in the chat that says Trader Joe's Hollywood Boulevard Vine, that is the place.
Really?
Yeah, we've got the Atwood audience are on it. Don't worry, Jonathan. We will be
Yeah.
able to fill in those gaps. But it's really chilling. And I wonder if you can shed any more light on the kind of secret society of Hollywood and this, satanic rituals comes up time and time again. We see humiliation rituals, which we've seen numerous celebrities have to do. Is this a club people they test the water with, so you were invited obviously into the Tidal party and
Right.
then never again because you didn't participate in their rituals. Is it like lock and key?
Yeah, I would say. And listen, like, as far as like at that time in my life, I don't know, at the Roc Nation event. Right. Obviously, there's all kinds of attractive women and stuff. I don't know if I would have, I was just so insecure with myself that it never even crossed, it never even crossed my mind. Right. But, because everybody else is just like, everybody's exposed. Right. So it was like, I often wonder, like, if I was like my normal younger days self, I wonder if I would have been in that action too, just being 100% honest,
Do you think it's also, within the music and entertainment industry, if you play by a certain rule book, you do go further?
Yeah, without question. Without question. And the and like what I'm describing, the New York incident, that was kind of like the Christmas party, because there was a Christmas party before then at this museum, that once again you go into this basement of this well-known museum. I can't think of the name.
Not forgetting.
No. This old house, it's this old Victorian house. Real nice, and everybody's like real, like old school, like elite, like Titanic type thing. But underneath, where they had some different paintings, that was like a more, I felt like a satanic vibe. So we went to that party with a friend. That was really strange. But nothing like the next day or the following day when you're like right outside. That's the thing that's so wild when you think about this stuff. These aren't in obsolete locations. This is like hiding in plain sight. 'Cause you could look out the window and see like you could see like downtown New York, right? Like you're right off Times Square. You could see the action of the city, and that's the thing. And same thing in LA. That was bright during the day, like getting out into a grocery store. So these are very out in the open. I don't know how they exist.
Do you think Freemasons or Freemasonry is linked to any of this kind of underworld?
I just think it's the underworld. I don't know what it is, but it is definitely dark and satanic. It's definitely not godly in any stuff. It's very antichrist, right? Because it's anti of what Christianity is, or even anti-Jewish, what they believe in. It's very, very dark, you
And
know.
did you see in the one you were just talking about, were there kind of statues and what was the icon, well,
So
not
yeah,
iconography,
so
but
the museum, I wish I knew, because it's a popular old Victorian building. It was right in the basement of that. It's a real popular, famous museum housing place. Upstairs is a bar, and all these couches that people would sit in and talk. It was cool. It was very nice. And then when you went downstairs, in like the basement type thing, where they did have paintings and they did have displays. So that's where they were having the Roc Nation Christmas party. It was like the whole weekend, the Roc Nation title Christmas party.
oh,
It's
so it
like,
went
oh
on the whole weekend.
yeah, but it wasn't like a nonstop thing. That I stayed there, I think, 5 hours, because after you go downstairs, you're upstairs, and it's like a nice bar setting, like n normal industry people not doing anything weird, right? So I was up there for I was upstairs for a while. Really, really cool vibe place, but downstairs was definitely like the upside down stars and crosses, and the art was very dark, satanic, you know. And I don't know if that's what they normally have there, because I haven't been back, but I've never seen anything like that. It's in your face. It's like definitely satanic, like you know it.
It's interesting as well because you earlier on in your career, you were Rihanna's publicist at the start of her career, and she did that album, which later on in her career was the can you remember what it's called? It's with the, wait, I want to find it because I want to reference this.
Anti,
Yes,
yeah.
yes. And that was so, all the, you know, all the, oh, I've lost the screen. Sorry, I'm so bad at technology, Jonathan. I don't know where you've got on my screen. Hang on. Can you see me?
Yeah, I can see you.
Sorry, I'm just trying to find you now.
No, so I listen for that Anti album. I got in trouble in 2016 because I was a title exclusive.
Where have you gone? I've still lost you, Jonathan.
Are you serious? I see you. Where
I can't find it. So sorry, everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. No, it's the wrong. Oh my God. There we go. Sorry, I had like my Mac. So yeah, the anti was it the what was the album called?
2016, Auntie.
Yeah. And that was a child on the cover covered in blood.
Yeah, I got in trouble for speaking out about it. You can see it. It's like in the Mirror or the Daily Mail or something about speaking out because she was upset. I was told, not from her, that she was upset because she didn't want to do a title exclusive because she had a streak of like number one albums. And so she didn't want to compromise like her own legacy for it came out as a title exclusive. So somehow it ended up going on the charts and everything else. But yeah, I was told by someone that she was really, really upset, you know, within the camp, and I spoke out about it. And then I got in trouble for that. You know.
Do you think, in your opinion, because Jay-Z does own a lot of Rihanna, really, you know, he's an investor in Fenty, she's signed to him. Do you think she's so far in with him that she can't get out if she wants a career?
No, I don't think she's real. And let me make it clear. So when I was working with Rihanna, it was 2004, right? That's when I came into and I got involved in the project in October 2004. That's when they were working on Pondy Replay, which is her first single. She wasn't a major artist by any means. She was an unknown artist. So I was working with the producers at the time. So the producers and I were coming up with the strategy for her release, but it's very interesting to think is we wanted to drop her press release and the single, her first single, Pon de Replay, in January. We wanted to come right off the lead off in the top of the year in 2005 with that, but they made us wait till March to put out the press release. I wrote Rihanna's first press release. I sent it to Jennifer Vineyard at MTV News. Like, this is all fact. This is all, you know, there's receipts between Jennifer Vineyard and I. She wasn't really into Rihanna at first, but she did. She was the first one to break the news about Rihanna. And we worked on the press release for weeks, right? But they wanted us to come out in March, not in February, because she was still 16 at the time. So we had to wait till she turned 17. And a lot of people have thought because of the statutory issues, right, of her being 17 years old versus 16. But we wanted to come out right at the top of 2016. And we didn't think, you know, her, you know, youth, especially back then in 2005, you know, the industry is a young person's game. So, you know, bringing out this 16-year-old from Barbados who just signed to Def Jam and the producers, we were excited about the record. We knew it was a smash, right? We knew it was something. It came out in March 2017, and then it started hitting the radio, and then she starts going big, and then that's it. Like, we were done. The manager, Mark Jordan, he was fired. I wasn't fired, but I was in on the producer side, right? So
It's interesting because when you take an artist like Rihanna at the start of her career, and then obviously if you're not working with her, you see how that artist develops publicly, but then you also see the very people she's signed to hosting parties that are satanic rituals. And then you think, well, her album Anti, you know, what is that a very clear message to people? Is it flaunting things in plain sight, or is it potentially, you know, an SOS, excuse the pun.
No, I think because what Ante came out, what, 2016? So she's, what is she going to be at? How old is she going to be at that time? 16, like 26 years old. You know, she's at the height of her career. And she doesn't really choose like what the artwork direction is going to be. I think Rihanna is totally innocent. And I think what we're seeing lately is her breaking free from that. That's why she hasn't put out an album in so long, right? And everything she does, she's focused on being a mother, obviously. Her last big performance was the Super Bowl, right, where she was pregnant. So I think that she, you know, and even if
Did you see the shot, Jonathan, when she did the Roc Nation sign with her hands at the Super Bowl? I watched it on repeat because I could not believe it. She
what is it?
genuinely looked petrified, like she had been forced to do it. That's just my interpretation.
What did she
But
do? The Roc Nation, the triangle?
yeah. Like she had been told, you have to do this.
Yeah, that's a good chance. But like even like if you look at the small little things, which doesn't matter, like she doesn't follow Beyonce on Instagram. She doesn't follow Jay-Z on Instagram. And I think what was really interesting is last year when the whistleblowers really started to emerge, right? And people were talking about Rihanna, and there was the allegations were coming about out about Jay-Z. I think it was very interesting when Jason Lee, do you know who Jason Lee is?
No.
He's from like Baddies and Hollywood Unlocked. He's a real big he's a real big podcaster, right?
Okay.
The Jason Lee Show, that's who it is. Well, he was such a Beyonce and Jay-Z fan. He never spoke bad about them, but his narrative started to change. And he was like, I feel so bad to do this, but Jay-Z has some explaining to do. Beyonce has some explaining to do. And he would talk about these sources that he heard. If you go look at his like Instagram, I don't know if it's still up, he's so close with Rihanna. He's always hanging out with her constantly. They're like best friends. And so I've just always wondered, was, you know, Rihanna talking to Jason Lee because they're so close? And then Jason Lee, that's why he kind of turned on Beyonce and Jay-Z, because he's hearing from Rihanna directly. It
It's
just seems it seems
yeah,
to me
that's.
like she's trying to get further and further away from Jay-Z and Roc Nation.
It's interesting as well when people leave Roc Nation, a lot of people don't seem to have a great experience. You know, we've seen in the Desiree Perez lawsuit recently with
Right.
Demoray Hadley what she's alleged. We've seen what Nicki Minaj has said, and then you know we've seen what Ramiya Setherwaite has said, but also Beyonce, her drummer when she left and you know, accused Beyonce of witchcraft. I felt so sorry for her because the mainstream media and, you know, a lot of people, they thought the drummer was mad. But actually, these things are very real and they are happening. And this voodoo or, you know, dark energy, whatever people want to call it, it's very real in that world from Roc Nation if you listen to whistleblowers.
Correct. And I wish Rihanna would go mad and do like Nicki Minaj is doing and start airing people out. 'Cause I love Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
Nicki Minaj is like the top whistleblower. She's exposing all of it. And a lot of people saying, oh, she's crazy. No, she's not crazy. She suffered through a lot of trauma and she's speaking out against it. And she's making a lot of you know, headway, right? She's moving forward. People are starting to pay attention. She tags people in the government, right? She seems to be, you know, real close with the Trump administration. So Nicki Minaj is a real threat to Roc Nation and Jay-Z. Finally, Jay-Z and Beyonce, there's a chink in their armor. Right, that there hasn't been ever like that we've witnessed, but there's definitely a chink in their armor.
So I learned a lot about Jay-Z and Beyoncé through watching. I used to be obsessed with the Sean Atwood channel before I was on it, and I
Right.
would watch all of the Jaguar Wright interviews. And, you know, the things that Jaguar was saying, it all just fits with exactly what you're saying as well, and the pattern that we see. Do you think people like Jay-Z will ever be held to account for what people allege? Or do you think he will continue to evade justice or the law because he's got enough money and power? Because we've seen it time and time again from people.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Jaguar Wright, she's like one of the first whistleblowers to really come forward with such a loud voice, right? Like what you're saying on her, on the Sean Atwood and Real Life Street Stars. She really, really did some damage, right? And it, like a lot of stuff that Nicki Minaj, I was listening to Nicki Minaj on her Spaces the other day. She almost had like the same inflections of Jaguar Wright, you know? And Jaguar Wright called me last week. I haven't spoke to her in a while. She called me last week and it was good to hear from her, you know? But she was definitely a whistleblower, just like what you're talking about. So much of what she said about Jay-Z and Diddy has came true, you know? And she, I hear people, like people have always said, like, you know, Jaguar and, you know, has these beef with these different platforms. I haven't really paid attention to that. But as far as Jaguar Wright, like, I'm so grateful for her because the first interview that I did was on Tisa Tells, which was random. And then she saw me on there and then she put me on Real Life Street Stars. And she really amplified, you know, my voice to where I'm at now, to having a law firm, you know, to having, you know, getting my career back on track, you know? So I've got nothing for love but Jaguar, right?
You are, I would say, a problem for Roc Nation. And it's interesting that you are still very successful within the music industry, not just as a publicist, but as a producer as well.
Right.
Have you encountered stumbling blocks that you've had to overcome? Have you felt that, you know, any of their power and influence has been weaponized to slow you down, to stop you, to intimidate you?
It did, for sure. It did. Like when I got out of the hip hop era, like the hip hop genre, sorry, and I started doing jazz music, and we had that number one jazz album with Eric B and Rakim. I thought that I was like in my own lane. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to just focus on jazz music. Because after I was in the home invasion where, you know, my daughter and I are duct taped and three people pled guilty to kidnapping and robbery, right? I thought, that, I mean, that was it. I was like, I'm done with hip hop. I'm done promoting any kind of violent music. And that's why we started doing jazz. And then we had the jazz album take off. And I'm like so free from anything that's connected to Diddy, that's connected to Jay-Z, anything that's connected to Roc Nation, and we're killing it. Jazz is like totally separate. And then I get pulled, not pulled, then we do that Biggie project, which brought me right back in to those same people. Because Biggie, you know, Biggie is obviously signed to Diddy. Diddy owned his catalog and master rights and publishing. He was his producer and songwriter. And then Jay-Z was like, you know, his homies, his friend from Brooklyn, right? So I think it's awesome that Sean Combs has spent the last year plus in Brooklyn, in one of the worst jail facilities in the United States of America, in Brooklyn. Because Biggie talks so much, you know, about Brooklyn in his songs, and Diddy's like his hype man, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's such a God thing that Diddy's in the Brooklyn jail.
And if we actually listen to whistleblowers, and this is something I feel so strongly about, because I hate the fact that whistleblowers are always made out to be mad or unreliable or mentally unstable, because these are the very people that we need to be amplifying. But if we listen to these whistleblowers, Jay-Z should be behind bars, according to them. Will that ever happen, do you think?
Yeah, I do actually. I do. There's no way, like I said, there's a chink in the armor, right? When Trump a few months ago was like, prosecute Beyonce, right? For the Kamala Harris stuff, that was wild. That's Jay-Z's wife. I think they have to be terrified of the Trump administration. You know? So if anybody is going to get Jay-Z, be able to bring Jay-Z down, it would be Donald Trump. And like, since we did your show, right, I get all these messages on Instagram. Oh, you're a Trump supporter. I don't like you. You're a Trump supporter. But Trump is getting justice, and Trump can take down these people that have been positioned for decades and decades and decades, right? And people always bring up, well, the Epstein files. He's in the Epstein files, and I don't know anything about that, right? Trump was a socialite all around New York City. We don't know what he took place in or whatnot. And you know, he's a real estate guy at all these Hollywood elite events, and he would run into to Epstein. But and whatever happened, whatever someone was then, like when you think about the Bible, Paul, who wrote the letters to the church, the New Testament, he was once Saul, who persecuted and killed thousands of Christians. So if this guy, Saul, was one of the wickedest people in the world, he becomes Paul, which writes from prison, which is now the New Testament Bible. People change. And I think what we're seeing in Trump is it is a change of a human being, right? And God uses all kinds of people, you know, for his glory and his, you know, his fight. So I hate that, where people are, you know, that whatever happened in the past, people can change miraculously through God. Because, you know, we're talking about satanic rituals. We got to talk about the other side, which is God. Satan and God are on the opposite spectrum. So I think anything without God is the devil, right? Especially growing up in the church. So,
It's interesting as well, Jonathan, because when you say the devil, there's so much within music that is so clearly almost ritualistic during the music videos now, during the award shows. This is a conscious effort by people, I believe, to bring in these kind of satanic spells into the mainstream. What do you say on that?
without question, Jay-Z and Beyonce have shown the occult and satanic symbols nonstop. Jay-Z has done it nonstop. Jay-Z has a lyric where he says, "What does he say?" He says, "I don't worship, I don't follow God. I follow Gotti." You know, you know John Gotti. Jay-Z has a song called Lucifer. Right, you know, that's like, it's he's Jay-Z is like, has got some of the most darkest music that you've ever heard, and he's always doing very witchcrafty stuff all out in the open, right?
Well,
So
Marina Abramovic, and we've seen
come
the
on,
video.
they all have some kind of weird thing, him and Beyonce, his wife. I think they're gonna, I think there'll be justice for them soon. There'll have to be. Jay-Z can't be affiliated and partners with Harvey Weinstein, Sean Puffy Combs, and R. Kelly. And then not be a part of anything himself. You know?
Well, Jaguar said that Diddy and Jay-Z were like peanut butter and jelly. You know, they go together.
Correct. They were 100%. They came up together. Right? They came up together from Brooklyn. There was Jay-Z and Biggie and Puffy were going to be in a group called The Commission. Right? And Biggie dies. So Jay-Z's album, American Gangster, was executive produced by Sean Puffy Combs. Jay-Z did a lot of his recording at Daddy's House, which is Puffy's recording studio in Manhattan. So much of his work is done at Daddy's House. And if Jay-Z's going to come into Daddy's House, it's not like, some regular person going to walk off the streets. They're going to shut it down. So Diddy and Jay-Z are pictured everywhere. We've seen them everywhere. So it was weird when the Alex Spiro guy, whatever, brought out that, oh, they're not friends, or whatever he did, trying to discredit that. It's like, are you kidding me?
So, for the audience, in case anyone doesn't know, Alex Spiro is Jay-Z's lawyer, and also he represents the Tupac estate, I believe. And he had a brief stint or an internship working at the CIA. I find that very, very interesting. Okay, there's something else I want to put to you as well, Jonathan. So we don't have this in England, but it's said time and time again that celebrities have CIA handlers, and that's very common. Now, I know one very, very well-known artist who I don't believe is aware that her manager is an informant. How common is this, or how well known is this?
I think it's so common,
Really?
right? Especially with police. So, and this has nothing to do, it's not in the lawsuit. But when I was working on the Biggie project, we were in Dallas. We're in this huge mansion. If you Google the address, it's on Walnut Hill. It's like the most expensive rental place in Texas. We were doing a documentary on the making of this Notorious Big album. Right. And so Puff Daddy came out to Dallas into this house. And when he's at this house, his security was like the president of the United States. Right. Like his security was that detailed. So there had been so many like parties and people. This was the pandemic place in Dallas. Right, hundreds of people there. They installed strip poles, because they wanted to have the aesthetic of the album was going to be called "Ready to Dance," a playoff "Ready to Die." So you had all these women while we're making the music, because Puffy and the would always say that you want to whatever you put into the music, that energy that you put into the music is the energy that's going to come out to the world. So it's like you want to have all the partying and dance music and, going on to the energy that you're making. So it correlates out into the world. But there were so many people at this house and they had open windows. So the security would walk in, right? Even for him to go to the kitchen, where the kitchen was another, like one of these big tables. I'm always talking about tables is because that's where people would do drugs. Right, because they would have the razor blades, and you need a table to do the
I
type of
won't say
stuff.
anymore. I'll strike my
Right,
video.
right, 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 right. But that's why it's always tables, because
Yeah.
that people can understand what I'm talking about. But there was this like open window in front of this table, and the security would walk in, and you'd hear him clear. The perimeter's clear. And then he would walk in. When he would go to a different room, into the living room, which had open windows, they would go check outside and inside. Perimeter's clear. He can walk in. And what's crazy is they would see all this partying that's going on. And then when I'm talking to them, they were off-duty Dallas police. All of them. Because I thought, wow, do they travel with them everywhere? They were all off-duty Dallas police. And
Yeah.
they all saw what was going on. And I would always be a bit paranoid, because he only came there two or three times, maybe two times at the most. His sons were there. They would come there more. But when he came there with all the security, I would think, okay, with all these people here partying, the police were just here off duty. Now they're on duty. We I would always be like, there's going to be some kind of raid or some kind of bust, but it was nothing. And this house was so wild. People would shoot guns. Sometimes they would get drunk, shoot outside in the pool. No police ever came. It was gated. They could easily got through the gate. It was so this house was so protected from the police. They were off-duty police. That was his security. And everywhere they go, that's what they're getting is off-duty police. And that's not retired police. This is off-duty police. So that's where they have so much power.
And it's the money as well, you know, it's the throw money at a situation. There's a A-list celebrity that has a manager who has that I know that has the police on speed dial for whatever is needed. And I just find this shocking, you know, it's that this is how they get away with it. Everyone has a price and everyone can be bought, apparently, you know. And this is, I would argue, how Diddy and allegedly Jay-Z have managed to operate for so long.
Agree. But this is how. But like I said, there's a chink in the armor. It's all coming down. Just like Cat Williams said in that very profound interview with Shay Shay, right? And then it happened. It's
What an
happening.
interview. I mean, I have watched that probably about 10 times. It is unbelievable. And on that, did or do you think Cat Williams was part of the occult or cabal?
I don't know enough about it to really say. You saw, what's his name? The Shannon, what's his guy? The announcer,
Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp. He's getting ready to sign that big deal with ESPN or Disney, and then his allegations come out, and now he's like canceled. So I don't know. I don't know enough about Cat Williams. I just saw that interview and just like the world did and was blown away. I was like, here we go. And shout out to Cassie Ventura and shout out to Little Rod, who really brought in the police and the authorities to take a look at it, because it wasn't until Diddy, till he's like raided and he's taken into custody, that Jay-Z has now become a target. And you see it all the time from real prominent people, right? They're next, they're next, they're next.
It seems to go in cycles, though. R. Kelly, Weinstein, Diddy.
All Jay-Z's friends, all his business partners.
And what was that business?
So Weinstein, he had like an exclusive relationship for his video content. People can look it up online who are watching. He was partners. He had an exclusive deal with Harvey Weinstein. Jay-Z did two albums with R. Kelly, toured with R. Kelly. I think we spoke about it the last time. And then we know about his 30-year career and his friendship with Sean Diddy Combs.
And also, Diddy said Jay-Z was the only person apart from his mum that could call him. I think it was Sean.
Wow.
Close.
Yeah.
But where do you stand, Jonathan, on Naomi Campbell? Because this is a real bugbear of mine, okay? She is very, very similar to Jay-Z in terms of she's a common denominator amongst a lot of people. And I don't ever feel like she's properly been investigated.
Right. That's something I don't know enough about. Buck bearer. What is a buck bearer?
It just means it annoys me.
Okay, I got you. I like that. I'm gonna start using that word.
It might be a British thing.
For sure. But I don't know enough about her.
And I've got some questions from the audience.
Okay.
So let's go. How do I put this up on the Oh, I'm getting good at the tech side now. Right. Did you see anyone there that was a non-music artist but was still famous, like a sports star and a sports team owner? So this refers to the first event you went to that was the Tidal Roc Nation Christmas party.
And what's the question again? I'm sorry.
Did you see anyone there that was a non-music artist but was still famous, like a sports star or a sports team owner?
Not a sports team owner, but definitely an athlete. Plural.
Okay,
Yeah.
let's hang on.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, I peaked too early with, I can't get it on the stage now. Hang on, there UK paper companies, supermarket Routh's and Pathmark, but then I've got other people that are saying Ron Burkle does, in fact, own. Let's have a look at this. Ronald Burkle has been heavily involved in the grocery business, Ralph's Grocery, Dominic's Finer Foods, Food for Less supermarkets, Fresh and Easy Neighborhood Market. Now, obviously, I'm not, assuming anything, but.
Wow. Every coincidence is significant.
Yeah. Have you met Ron Burkle?
I haven't.
Let's go through some more questions. Okay, so here we go. Flo says, "Anti with the blood of Christ and crown on the album cover equals Antichrist." Do you believe? Is that your thoughts, Jonathan?
I'm not sure. Like I love Rihanna. I wouldn't be where I'm at if I didn't do Ponder Replay. So I'm so biased,
Yeah,
right?
I get that. And it's also as well, people in the public eye, they sometimes we can read too much into things.
Right.
Sometimes they create things because they know it's going to get us talking, but sometimes there could be messaging in it as well. So it's that fine balance, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
And okay, so last question. This is from Sandra. It's a good one. What year was it that Beyoncé's sister assaulted Jay-Z in a lift and caught on camera? Well, I don't know the year, but I want to ask you on that side of things. Do you think Solange is within it with Jay-Z and Beyoncé? Because I've always felt like she's not.
That was the 2014. That was the elevator incident.
Yeah.
I did a there's a quote that I did with this writer at Billboard. His name is Joe Lynch. He was a senior editor at Billboard. He asked me about that incident, which is still out online with Billboard. But I don't know how involved she is, but that fight. That I mean, that was heard all across the world, right? The elevator footage that came out. So I did speak out. I did speak about that then. Jay-Z and I have had this weird like love-hate relationship. I can't get away from it. I'll speak out like I did in Billboard. I'll speak out like I've done in other places. And then I'm doing a project like the Biggie project, and then he big. One of the songs that we were doing called I Love the Dough was a song that Biggie had done with Jay-Z that we got permission to do, and Jay-Z was going to support it. And I'm like, are you kidding me again? This dance project, Jay-Z's back, this jazz project somehow ends up to Jay-Z, right?
Yeah.
Because that the Christmas parties that I'm talking about, I wasn't even working with them at the time. Like I worked with Roc Nation up until like 2015 and 16, but in 2019 I got the invite because of that number one jazz album and because Jay-Z loves Rakim, right? They all call him the God MC, and Jay-Z and Rakim have a real close relationship, and Jay-Z even in his Rock and Roll Hall of Fame speech gave a tribute to Rakim. So once they found out that I'm working with Rakim on this jazz album, then it's like come to our parties, and I did. I went to those two events at the museum, and then trying to find the right words. Whatever that was, freak off New York, freak off New York, Non Diddy, the Roc Nation freak off.
It's just so, what I find so crazy about this is it's the arrogance of the fact that they are doing this, knowing that anyone that is going to talk about this will either never be believed or never be able to prove it. And it's that real elite mindset of arrogance and a complete on a different level to anyone else.
Well, I think that's why getting law enforcement involved, because there's messages out there. I was speaking to somebody about my case. That's one of the reasons why I've been pushing so hard on the criminal side, is because they can ping phones. They can see when we're all together. There's messages between the other alleged perpetrators who are communicating. Like, people just don't show up and gather at these places and at these events on their own. There's forensic evidence out there. There's videos. There's photos. There's all kinds of weird stuff. They just have to find it, you know? And that's why we have to get law enforcement as much as we can involved in these things. And that's why I said, you know, getting law enforcement on Depp's family to find that. To find that place, whether it's Ron Burkle's or whoever that is, like I said, that was a public grocery store, and while all out in the open. So it's out there. It's so active, it's so in your face that it seems like it wouldn't be hard to crack. But just as we spoke about, so many of these police officers are working off duty, you know, for these celebrities as their security. You know?
And cover-ups are just, everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's really scary. And also, what I find scary, Jonathan, is that this isn't just an isolated underground tunnel with 8 rooms or 10 rooms with girls that evidently cannot come and go as they please. So, and the only reason they're there is because people with more money and more power are trapping them there
Right.
and exploiting them, So I think what the things you've talked about tonight, I really do believe are really brave, because it's risky putting your head above the parapet, and speaking out on these things and going to those kind of events, and despite signing an NDA, still sharing your experience. So thank you for being so honest with us tonight.
Yeah, thank you for listening and having me.
Oh, I love chatting to you. And how can the audience follow you and keep up to date? What's the best platform?
Just they can find it, whatever they want, whatever they got, Instagram, Twitter.
Well, you've got to give them your handle.
Nah, it's okay. No
Okay.
problem.
Well, just look for Jonathan Hay, and we'll pin all the details in the chat. And Jonathan, it's just always a pleasure, and you're so generous with your time. And will you come back when the lawsuits are, you're in a position where you can talk? Because we obviously heard last time that there are various people that are intimidating you and your daughter who's just had a baby. And that's a really stressful time, but we don't want to talk about it and give those elites anything to come back on you with.
Right, those were the private investigators, and that's why I got so mad, and that's why I was like talked about it a little bit too much, because
That's all right.
she has a newborn baby,
Yeah.
right? So, but listen, we're on it. A lot of good things have happened this week. We're starting to cut through. So I feel really positive. So if any of the my ops are watching, it's been a really productive week towards getting justice.
And we're going to just keep profiling Jonathan. So, The Atwood audience is big, so watch it, guys. We're going nowhere.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care, Jonathan.
All right, bye.